somebody shared a joke with me, and that particular joke now sort of prompted me to make a promise to myself that my homily is going to be very short. And this is the joke. This is the joke. No, I'm coming with a joke. So, this particular preacher reflected on, or rather was reflecting on, the major and the minor prophets in the Old Testament Bible. And he spoke for 20 minutes on Prophet Isaiah, 20 minutes on Prophet Jeremiah, 20 minutes on Prophet Ezekiel, and 20 minutes on Prophet Daniel. Then he announced to the people, right here, we are going to talk about the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. And what place will I give Prophet Hosea? So a man on the back row of the church stood up and shouted out, I'm leaving, give my place to Prophet Hosea. That was a joke. All right. So, the readings today, like I said, points to the resurrection of the dead. And you can see that the church is inviting us by that very fact, inviting us to reflect on the meaning of the basic hope in our Christian faith. It's basic, it's basic. That hope is basic. And that's the hope you hear after the Lord's Prayer. We said, as we await the blessed hope. You know, the blessed hope. It's a powerful statement. And it is something we should all really look forward to. Because the Bible puts it this way, that no eye has seen. It has not even entered into the imagination of man all that God has prepared for those that love him eternally. It is something that is beyond all human expectation, what that life looks like. Unfortunately for the Jews, some of them thought that that life would be an extension of this life. No, it's not going to be an extension of this life. It is completely different. It is completely different. And it was for that life, so that we all might experience the love of God and the perfect wisdom of God and his perfect goodness, that Jesus had to come. He had to come, lived a short life here on earth for about 33 years. And it was there he declared this particular future life, this particular future life. But somehow, in a mysterious way, he communicated that life to you and I, that we can share in that life here below, but in a very small way, in a very small or shadowy way. He communicated that life to us and made it clear that it is only in sharing in that life here on earth that man is ensured of sharing that unending life in heaven. And that is why he spoke to Nicodemus concerning it. He said, you must be born again. You must be born of water and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't share in that life. And we all receive baptism. At our baptism, Jesus communicated that life into us, into our soul. You know, he infused it into our soul, making us immortal, putting the seed of immortality in us. And we are to continue to nurture that life. Because if we do not nurture it here below, it dies. And then, of course, we can be part of the future one. The future one. So it is communicated continually and nurtured through the sacraments. Through the sacraments and through our personal life of prayer and other means. Through good work, the good work we carry out. Because it is the Holy Spirit that prompts you to do all of that. You know, on our own, we can never attain that life. And we can never make that life grow. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that it happens. And so, the Jewish people thought it was the other way. And they began to talk about a woman who had to marry 7 wives. Even in the next life, she will continue to be the wife of the 7 brothers. But one thing is very sure about this life is that this future life is that at that time, our spirit will be endowed with wonderful powers to know and to love. Wonderful power to know and to love. And we will love each other the way God loves us. It's not what we are loving here. It's not what we are doing here below. We will love each other the way God loves us and be loved in return. And be loved in return. And of course, we're going to have a new body. It is not the one that just, had to go to the dust. We will have a new, God is going to give us the gift of a new body. A new body strikingly that resembling that of the risen Lord, our risen Lord Jesus. So it's a blessed hope. And many people had depended on this blessed hope that it was their energy, their drive to live this life, to live on this life. You see what happened to those, in the first reading, the mother and her seven sons. Look at the drive. They said, yeah, we are ready to undergo this torture because we know we shall live again. You know, all of these things mean nothing to us. And it is because they were looking forward to that perfect life, that unending life, a far superior life. So they were ready for anything here below. And that's how the children of the resurrection should dispose themselves. Because when we have this particular life here below, and we begin to have different values of life, our values will change. That of those seven sons and their mother changed. You know, they were ready to do away with these limbs because they knew that God was going to give them perfect limbs later. You know, only the children of this world will have their identity based on earthly things, based on achievements, based on positions and power and fame. But the children of the resurrection look on all these things as trifles because God is going to bless them later. God is going, like I told you, that at that time, your spirit will now be wonderfully empowered. You know, all the perfect gifts that God can give, they are for you. So what do you need the ones here below for? Why should this one be the be-all and end-all of your judgment, your judgment or standards? So the children of the resurrection have a higher value. The children of this world have a different value, like the Sadducees. Their own value is attached to earthly things. That is why they are saying that this woman's identity rests only on having husbands. Whereas this woman is a child of God. Her identity is not on the husband or the children, but the power of the resurrection, because she is also a child of God with special identity. Just like a man is also a child of God with special identity. So our identity is not attached to earthly things. It's not attached to what we have. It's not by if you don't have children or you don't have a husband, does that mean that you are not special or that you don't have an identity? You don't have identity. You have an identity because you are made in the image and likeness of God. And moreover, you are a child of God. It's somebody that is preserved for immortality. And you are to be exalted. Going to heaven, living that life of the resurrection is an exaltation. Human being is exalted because you're like, Jesus said it there, he said you are like the angels. In fact, higher than the angels. You are higher than the angels because Jesus did not die for the angel, but Jesus died for you and me. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. So you are higher than the angels in heaven. Even here below, as long as we begin to live that life of the resurrection, you know, these two worlds, they are mixed in us. The children of the resurrection and the children of this world. All of these things are in us. But one has to take precedence over the other, and that is the children of light. So when we are at our best, we are demonstrating that we are children of the resurrection. But at the low side of us, we are demonstrating that we're the children of this world. But we are made for heaven. And so our focus should be in heaven. And that should influence all our beliefs, all our values here below.